Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They're a really good football team. You know, I've had a chance to look at them in all three phases, and they've got a lot of weapons. When you just talk special teams, obviously their kicking game is elite. Kickoffs and their punters extremely talented as well. Their return game is really good. You know, Heath does a great job over there, and you know, the trades that they made with getting Jacoby Myers on the offensive side has definitely paid dividends. And you know, it looks like they've got the guys in the spots where they want them now. And I think they're 7-1 since they picked him up, maybe. And then, you know, picking up the corner on the other side from Cleveland, good player as well, and he's fortified and kind of solidified that side of the ball for him in terms of the corner piece. So, very talented team. So we'll have a big challenge in front of us.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday, 2 days in a row, by the way, bringing up Jacoby Myers unprompted. Midseason edition, trade deadline edition for the Jaguars, and it has worked wonders for that Jags offense. It has allowed them to really unlock everything in the passing game, I think. You know, Parker Washington has been the star, but most do acknowledge that Jacoby Myers being slotted into the lineup, it's allowed Brian Thomas to have a much better second half of the year, it's allowed Parker Washington to flourish, and it's allowed Trevor Lawrence to really just take shots down the field. He has been an aggressive quarterback
over the second half stretch. I would like to rewind to the NFL trade deadline and say, my bad. Because I was kind of scared of the Bills adding Jacoby Myers.
Right. Well, because it kind of felt like maybe he wouldn't fit what they needed.
Well, I mean, not many boundary receivers are fitting this offense anyway.
Well, yeah, that's actually a very good point.
Based on what I've subscribed to at this point, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I like Myers. I feel like he's just a guy. Nope. Totally taking that one back. My bad, everyone. Now to reap the reward, quote-unquote, of that and having to face Jacksonville with Jacoby Myers. So, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say my bad. Oops. And 8030550.
Right. We trudge along. we continue to march.
We move along. Derek's an idiot. News more at 11. Hey, it's 11 now.
Real quick, I tweeted it out as well, and I've said this for weeks now, even maybe months. So Mike McDaniel out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It is official.
Yep.
The team released a statement about a half hour ago. He's out. And I tweeted, and I've felt this way for months.
Yes, you have.
This is the guy I want to be the Bills OC if they are to move off from Joe Brady. If I'm the Bills, that's what I'm doing. And there's obviously a few reasons why. Number one, he comes from the Kyle Shanahan tree, and he might be one of my favorite head coaches in football. His offensive schemes were perfect. I think the one thing that has caused Kyle Shanahan to not have multiple Super Bowls is that his starting quarterbacks have been Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo. And I've gotten much more fond of Purdy as the years have gone on, but there is a limit to that. Everything needs to be running perfect. If he had a Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, I think things would be very different. The team also, I think, somewhat acknowledged that when they traded up and tried to do it with Trey Lance, although that did not work at all. I would love to see McDaniel in for that reason. He had Tua Tagovailoa, and that, I think, limited what they could do on a day-to-day basis on offense. He's not perfect, because I will also acknowledge, you know, where guys like Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur could really succeed with some backup quarterbacks. McDaniel couldn't, but that's why I think those guys are still in their jobs and McDaniel is out.
Right.
But if I get him as OC, he's going to bring in a very talented offensive mind. And also, to this point, Derek, and I think this is maybe the most important one, what are we constantly talking about with having McDermott as the head coach? It's the fact that OCs are going to be leaving. If they're good, they're gone. They are going to get a head coaching job. We haven't dealt with that in a little while because in the middle of all this, Dorsey does get fired. And
yeah, they've had to fire an OC and now might be getting rid of another one for reasons that are more of madness than anything.
But with McDaniel, I get a guy that was so impressive, he did get a head coaching job, led some pretty darn impressive offenses in Miami, albeit ones that sort of fizzed out in the playoffs. I think that has much more to do with the GM and the quarterback he had. But I also get a guy that it's his reputation now is not a really great head coach.
Right.
That reputation is not going to be fixed in 1 year, maybe not even 2 years. And if I'm Mike McDaniel, I want to go to a team where I'm going to have a great quarterback, and it will help rebuild my reputation as fast as possible. If he goes to somewhere, let's say Atlanta, completely cleans house, like they already are, and he goes to Atlanta because they do have Drake London and Bijan Robinson and maybe Kyle Pitts because he's a free agent, he's not secure in that quarterback spot. He's not at all. Michael Penix is coming off now a torn ACL. We'll see what that means at all. But what he might have is Washington, Jane Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens. They've only moved off of Harbaugh, but the expectation is they're moving off of everybody.
Yep.
This is where I think you also, if you're the Bills, need to be active.
Well, you can't
instead of reacting to something else that happens. And so, again, the season has to end. But if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm waiting. I am waiting to see what other jobs potentially open up, what have you. Tampa Bay opened up today with Josh Grizzard getting fired after 1 year. I am waiting this out. We also heard, too, yesterday, John Harbaugh is not taking any interviews until next week.
Now, I understand why Harbaugh would do that. With McDaniel, if there's teams offering up him to be a head coach, I'm not waiting to see if the Bills would be an OC offering position.
I don't think he'll get it. If he gets head coaching opportunities, he's not.
Yeah. You mentioned Tampa Bay, and I think that one's actually like all the more interesting to me because he then has Baker Mayfield and that wide receiver core to play with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Bucky Irving as well as the primary running back. Like, that's actually a really good tantalizing offense that you can really utilize talent with. The Bills, you have the best quarterback. And you also have the best running back this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a tight end group that isn't always healthy. A wide receiver group that I'm tired, boss.
A little lackluster, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you do have one of the better offensive lines in the league. That would help.
That's my thing. If all I have to do is, hey, we need to add some pieces here to the wide receiver room, you can do that in offseason.
But I might have to help dump a little water on your dream saying, those teams can act now.
Right.
The Bills cannot.
If I'm him, I'm waiting as long as I can before I take a job. I want to see what is available.
The problem is that there's two really good spots available as an OC alone that I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Washington may not be because they're an old team.
I'm not even talking. I'm talking more Baltimore and Tampa.
And Tampa.
So that's where I'm kind of trying to like, come back to me, Zach. Mm-hmm. You're waiting away from the realm of reality. No, back here.
No, I think they can convince him.
Where's the rope? Where's the rope?
I think they can convince him.
Dan, where's the rope?
I mean, he won an MVP.
We got to reel him back in.
Last year. I think they can convince him. And to be fair, what better way to kind of stick it to Miami than going to Buffalo, working with Allen, and then jumping ship to another team in 2-3 years, if he even gets that opportunity. Like, that's the thing. That's really my big premise here is that you could maybe have McDaniel for the rest of Josh Allen's prime.
Because
he does need to rebuild that reputation.
I do wonder what the fallout becomes, though. Like, if John Harbaugh doesn't go to Miami, what'd they do this for?
Right. You waited a while. I mean, sure, they maybe had to meet, what have you. But it sounds like the reports, too, are he hasn't actually – like Harbaugh didn't play in any of that. Peter Schrager, I think, tweeted it out as well, which I think is baloney. Perfect. I think that's maybe Harbaugh's people going like, no, we didn't hear from them. That's crazy. No, never. No. I think they did. Now, will they take the Miami job? Harbaugh and his people. Harbaugh. I think the Giants job is probably perfect for him. He has the quarterback there already. Malik Nader's
coming back.
Yeah,
there's a lot to rebuild with Miami. That quarterback contract with Tua is bad.
I don't think they're a particularly attractive job at all. I thought initially that was why they were keeping McDaniels. That
like
we're just going to ride this out maybe for another year.
Dead man walking thing.
And instead,
not introduce somebody new to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is a GM saying, I want my own coach so that we can actually build this thing through.
Mm-hmm.
And also a dead man walking, being helpful within a draft class is never good.
Never good. It just wastes everybody's
time. Especially if you need to bring in a new quarterback, which we've said multiple times, that's the one way to kill development in a player.
803-0550, the number to call. What do you think is going to be the biggest reason the Bills win if they do on Sunday? We'll go back to the phones here. Steve is up first in this segment. Steve, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. I was just going to piggyback on the McDaniels and Miami talk. I was thinking Brady would be a great candidate for the head coach job in Miami. You know, I think he's like, that's a young man's job down there. And they're like no experienced head coach, especially that's, you know, in their late 60s or almost 70s, is going to want to take that job because they're 3 years away. And that would give Brady time to, you know, go and get his guy and know the roster down there. And, you know, the only thing that scares me about it is having someone in division that's got intimate knowledge of Josh Allen and, you know, McDermott, you know, that we're going to have to play twice a year. But, you know, that's my thoughts on Brady going down there. I think he'd be great. That's a good fit for him.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. I do wonder, you bring up a good point, though. It's a young man's job because it is the rebuild, right? Harbaugh's in his 60s.
Right.
Is he going to want to deal with that? We've already kind of acknowledged probably not. Pete Carroll coming in for a rebuild with the Raiders was a disaster.
Gets canned 1 year.
Right. My only issue with it, most teams do this, the 180. We just hired an offensive guy. We're going to go defense.
They always do the overcorrection, yes.
What does Miami do? They had Brian Flores, their next coach, Mike McDaniel.
More importantly, what sunk the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah. The Bills don't do the positional 180. They do the personality 180. Rex Ryan is loud and boisterous.
And an experienced head coach.
An experienced head coach. They then go to very, at the time, especially very serious, very stoic Sean McDermott. They're both defensive guys, but the personality is the 180. I think more Miami is looking for the positional 180.
Even date it back. The coach before Ryan is Doug Marrone.
Mm-hmm.
That's his first NFL head coaching job. Who does Marrone follow up? Dick Geron, an experienced NFL head coach.
I thought he followed up Chan Gailey.
Oh, that's right. That's
Gailey's
right.
I forget about Chan too. Gailey.
But Chan Gailey is a guy who's been around for a long time.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that that's like that's where it is. You're right. I think the 180 is not – I don't think it's personality-based. I think it's experience-based when the Bills do it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. Well, hang on. I'm way too soon here.
Give it a minute. May have to. You
may have to deal with this.
Probably won't. But
I probably won't. And honestly, the last thing I'm going to say about the coaching thing for a little bit here is, to the people that think that John Harbaugh is an upgrade, I said it once, I already hinted at it. To the people that think that John Harbaugh is an upgrade on Sean McDermott, I don't want to say necessarily that that's incorrect, but I don't love that sentiment. How's
yeah,
that?
You do not love the idea of Harbaugh at all. He would not at all be
the
on
amount
my
of
list
times
that
they've choked games in his entire coaching tenure. Oh my God.
I don't think we'd have to worry about it. I'm more talking coordinators, but
right.
Yeah, he would not be on my list at all. 803-0550, the number to call. We go to Scott next. Scott, how are we doing?
Oh, guys, thank you for taking my call. I need the help. I talked to my priest, my family, my friends. They all say I got to dump my girlfriend. She's brutal. I can't take her smalls. I'll just lay it out. And right from the start, she thinks you guys will be doing movie trivia in 5 days.
Oh, no.
All week. She says the Bills are the Dallas North. She says nothing but hype, a couple of or a few wild card wins against third string quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks at home, couple division wins, and everyone in this town, she says, talks Super Bowl. She says Josh Allen is the best running quarterback in the league. He's not – people say he's the best player. She says he's not even the best player on the Bills. She says Cook is. She said, we went to the Cleveland game. She's like, look at the last two games. The Cape went 12 of 19 when – I think when we were there, I think Cook had 100 yards in the first half, which should have opened up the passing game. She says, follow that, the offense doesn't score a point for 55 minutes at home against the Eagles and needed these games. She said,
she's not liking the Bills, man. She's not liking them.
Oh, my. Well, you know what? I'm listening to her. I'm calling her crazy, but these facts are there. She's not wrong. So I don't know what to do, man.
Give her a hug, brother. give her a hug and let her know that it's okay. That's my advice.
Stay with her. She challenges you, and that's good in an early relationship.
Yes.
I actually don't know how long you two have been dating, but that's good in a relationship.
I'm saying give her a hug. She sounds like she needs it.
It's not wrong,
and,
though.
But the thing is, there are facts being presented there. It is how you interpret them. So if she's interpreting it as Josh Allen's not the best player on the team, give that woman a hug. She needs it. It's okay.
I'm glad at least she said cook.
Realistic
answer.
I will always say, you know, if something is feeling negative, sometimes you don't know what the person's going through. Give her a hug.
Also, I mean, the context, too, is...
Also, what the hell are we going to do to help, man?
Yeah. Also, movie trivia? It's summertime, okay? We got college basketball. We got Sabres hockey.
We got Sabres hockey, and they're fun to watch right now.
Just saying. The movie trivia is going to... We got a little while for that.
Yeah, a little bit, but...
On the context, though, of... I think the playoff history, though, too, like, that's always, I think, a fun topic for the modern NFL now because of the change in seeding. The 7 seed's added in, and the 2 seed no longer has the bye.
And it gets very annoying.
It's gotten very annoying. It's also very much diluted the product. It's why we've only had 1 7-2 win in the last however long it's been here, maybe 5 years or so. It's diluted the product, but those are the teams the Bills have had to play, and they've beat them all. They haven't run into that problem. If this is the normal, you know, the Bill or the, when the Patriots are running the AFC East, they'd have a bye. They don't pick up some of these injuries that they've have in these playoff games, and maybe their win or their losses against Mahomes go a little bit differently, right? Or even some of their losses against Cincinnati go a little bit differently, what have you.
But, because then they get the week off.
But look, I mean,
to help process a little bit more of what has happened.
Yeah, and you know, to the caller's point as well, this is their history. This is why a lot of the pressure's on them, maybe unfairly, but this is also how sports goes in the modern world. Like, it's all about legacy, and you've been here for a while, and you haven't even made the big game yet. It's why I've also mentioned that this week, this game, is going to be huge for McDermott. Not necessarily in the sense that they'll fire him or not, but just in the sense of you're the older coach. You're the guy that's been here and done this. And you've done wonderful work with this defense in the second half of the year. You have. Now can you stop a white-hot quarterback in Trevor Lawrence? He is not Burrow. He is not Jackson. He is not Mahomes. You've done great work against Jackson in the past. Burrow and Mahomes, for the most part, have gotten you. Do we have to add Lawrence to that list?
Yeah, I would rather not. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, a lot of people will try to dunk on the Bills for the quarterbacks they beat in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Is Trevor Lawrence's name going to be on that unfascinating list if a Bills win?
I think if they win this game, like, that needs to be put in there as one of their better playoff wins.
Right.
It's not last year's divisional matchup against Baltimore. Actually, both divisional matchups against Baltimore. But it should be considered one of their most impressive playoff wins in this tenure. Absolutely should.
Right. So that's going to be the real thing for me is, and I'm not worried about the defense. I'm not. They're going to give up some, and it'll probably be early. There's your warning. Brace for impact. But the Bills have, this season, defensively, gotten punched in the mouth, said, thank you for the punch, now I know how to defend it. They've taken the hard knock lessons and turned them into defensive game plans and even flipping the game on its head in the second half.
My only fear is just don't start off so slow in the first half.
You can't do 21-0.
Right. I mean, I will tell you, though, if the score's 14-10 Jags at halftime, I will feel very good.
Yeah.
I will feel very, very good. If the Bills are winning going into half, I'll feel great, no matter how that came about. If they're leading going into the half, I'll feel wonderful.
Say it's first quarter. They let the scripted drive just handle them.
Like normal, yeah.
But they then take the lessons and go, okay, this is what you're good at. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can cook up.
And they've done that a few times this year.
Yes. To be a fly on the wall for the halftime adjustments in the locker room.
See, we might all think it's like razzle-dazzle big speech, and it might be just like, guys, that's what they're doing. You guys had it.
Like, it's on like a scratch board, like a legal pad. It's on a scratch pad, all the notes of like everything that they're doing. And it's like, how do we...
I think everyone hopes it's Will Muschamp punching a whiteboard. when he was at the University of Texas.
Right.
And I feel like it's not.
It's
I
more.
I feel like it's not.
It's more thoughtful, analytical, and processed.
Yeah. Will Muschamp, by the way, back is DC.
What a name.
At Texas.
There's a name drop.
I'm thrilled for him. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Take one more call here before we take our next timeout. Jeff is up next. Jeff, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, if I could throw a couple things at you. You know, you played the McDermott snips, and all the way back to when we lost Jamarcus Ingram to Houston, there was sort of like a, you know, you could tell, like, at least I thought, I read into it, where, you know, McDermott wasn't happy about losing him, and, you know, sort of like, I wonder if there's just a little bit of friction, tension when he brings up, well, you know, now Harrison got hurt over, you know, Maxwell, because we didn't have another outside corner to put on the field. And you hear him say that, and you hear him, you know, talk about the acquisition that Jacksonville made with a corner from Cleveland. And I, you know, you look at this team, and if there's a reason they lose, I want to say because, boy, if they get an injury at outside corner, they're sort of up against the wall.
Yeah.
And if they win, you know, I've been listening to the show for a good hour or so, and I would say if they're going to win, I'm going to go with the premise that you keep the ball away from Jacksonville with these 7-8 minute drives and try and pound away and get a lead. And, you know, the best place for him to be would be on the bench for us. And if I would, one more thing, I hope Jacksonville wins the toss, defers, because you talk about halftime adjustments. And I've never really, you know, I watch a lot of football in my day. This team is really good at figuring out, okay, you know, this is where they're killing us. This is what we got to do to counter that. And I'd really like to see the Bills with the ball instead of down 7-0 early. And that's my take on the whole deal.
Jeff, I
like about those corners.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. Especially the first part. We didn't really get to touch on the cornerback part at all. This is me and Derek. I know have talked about it a lot, and I think a lot of us on the station have that. Again, we don't really know for sure. We don't know the two men intimately. There does seem to be friction there between Bean and McDermott, the build of the team going into this year, and then eventually even now kind of some of the decisions that have been made in the year. You're hearing stuff about the trade deadline. Of course, Jamarcus Ingram being poached as well. I even go back to the comments after the trade deadline. Bean, do you think this is a Super Bowl winning roster? Yes. McDermott, I love these players.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, it's another one to add into the frustration that has shown up between coach and GM publicly. And again, I subscribe to the belief of what Jarmo Kekäläinen says. I know different sport, but same kind of thing, GM, of what I say in public, I will say in private.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have absolutely said in private. I just said something about fly on the wall. Yeah, same there.
That one might be more interesting.
That one's more interesting.
I think that one might be more interesting.
I'd still be curious to look at halftime adjustments and see, like, you know, I guess how the hot dog is made.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Where do you think the Bills will win on Sunday if they do get the win? We'll take a bit of a pause from that, though. When we come back, we get a word in on the bandage. John Gertler is going to join the show. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Tamed off the side of Lucas Nielsen. There's Dane Smith with a shot. He scores! Oh, he had a ticket to L.A., took a Greyhound, and went home on a Great Dane.
John Gertler on the play-by-play there as Buffalo, the Bandits, back to business there, winning against the Las Vegas Desert Dogs, 15-13 last weekend. And on the Western Hotline with us will be John Gertler, the play-by-play of the Bandits, as it's time now for the Bandits Update, brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. John, it's Derek and Zach. First of all, it's good to talk to you again.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. Happy New Year. Roll them out for a new game.
roll them out for a new game and a new year as well, as we're happy to do this now. We've been talking with a couple of the others, Dave Buchanan, Steve Brumell. Now we finally get our guy, the play-by-play man, and John. And it was a big win against Las Vegas over the weekend, and Tucker Outland phone tonight.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Very emotional, as I mentioned through the broadcast, the 12th annual Tucker Out Lymphoma Night to raise funds and awareness for the Burkitt's lymphoma, and very successful. You know, the teams wear uniforms that were designed by Tucker and Dyson, his brother, who plays for Oshawa. And it turned out to be a great game. Love to see that Chris Kluche and Chase Fraser back with Las Vegas doing their thing. And, you know, a big embrace by both team members, just to say welcome home. But we wish you well in your career with Vegas.
And well, while they did do that, the hugs, everything like that, they also send Vegas off with the loss. And it is some of the usual suspects, you know, Josh Byrne with 9 points, Dane Smith with 8, Ian McKay with a natural hat trick in the second quarter to end the first half. And he had 7 points here, but in your fast break on bandits.com, you mentioned that the depth does shine in that game as well.
Yes, it did. I mean, Ian McKay, along with Kyle Buchanan, they combined together, you know, scoring the goals that they did, very pretty on the other end for Buchanan, and then Dehoka Nanakuk opening up the scoring. That gives you the idea that the secondary scoring is starting to come into a very important sequence for the Bandits. Yes, they certainly covered Dane Smith and Josh Byrne, but when you've got three other guys trailing in, and then maybe Ryan Benesch this weekend, you know, these guys are the ones that are going to step it up and contribute to that secondary scoring. And we saw that Saturday night in Buffalo against Vegas. And, you know, when you start tic-tac-toeing the ball and you got Kyle Buchanan on the end of it, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
John, we're 4 games in now. What have you seen kind of in this first bit of the season for the Bandits when we look at this team now that is trying to go for another champion, trying to go for 4 in a row?
They are so focused right now. 4 in a row is not even a part of the vernacular with them. It's just a, you know, selfless type of play together, humbled to the bone, understanding what everybody's role is. And guys, you know, when the Bandits get together and understand each role and really kind of put it together, whether it's on defense, transition, or in the offensive side of the fence, this is where it's going to start to pay dividends. And it's slowly coming about with the Bandits. I even in training camp, when I saw the guys, you know, they were still dabbling here. Who's going to do what? You know, who's going to do what on offense? Defense is pretty solid. But certainly Saturday night's game in Buffalo was a statement game for the team to say, you know, we can do this. Yeah, the other team came on strong in the second half, like other teams have done so far this season, but the Bandits have held strong. So we're seeing it in an area where you're getting a collaboration of all the effort by the team members, and they know going in to Rochester on Saturday night that they're going to meet a red-hot team in the Nighthawks. Very talented in scoring. I mean, similar in facto to Buffalo, and they've got a solid defense as well. And, you know, the goaltending area is very impressive for the Nighthawks with Ryland Hartley back into shape. So it's going to be a tough game, and I think they're going to step it up from a standpoint of saying, okay, we've got this confidence. We played consecutive games together, which is great. We're going to play another consecutive game on Saturday night in Rochester. So you're going to see the elevation of play for the Bandits, and this should continue, barring any other injuries, which the Bandits have 2 major injuries right now in Mitch Desnoux and Zach Belter. So that's where the depth has got to step it up now, and guys have to collaborate together, as I had mentioned before.
I was just going to ask about the health of Desnoux and Belter and seeing if they're going to be available for this game against Rochester. John, is there anything on the latest with the health of them? And if not, who will be the players to look out for?
No, Mitch Desnoux will not be available, and Zach Belter will not be available. So certainly the Bandits will look at probably dressing 7 forwards, maybe 8, who knows. But then they have to dip down and probably put Ron John back in along with maybe Taylor Dooley. Now, Coltrane Tyson, who is one of the high draft choices from the last draft, has been practicing on a regular basis with the Bandits, as has Matt Spanger, who, you know, went out last season with a season-ending injury. They, too, practiced last night up in Brampton. We're very involved in all of the sequences of runs specifically on defense, but they're going to need more time. So I don't think they won't be available for the services on Saturday night in Rochester, speaking for Coltrane, Tyson, and Matt Spanger. But Zach Belter is also going to be out, and as I had mentioned before, Mitch Disnew. So Bennett's will have to step up and go with their depth. Probably Taylor Dooley, one of the draft choices a couple of seasons ago, will probably go into the lineup. And also pending on Ryan Benesch. He did not play Saturday night, lower body injury or resting, and we'll see if he's available for Saturday night. But certainly a good display on Saturday of past in Buffalo against the Dogs. With the combination of Buffalo's offense and defense. I thought the defense played incredibly well. And then, of course, 42-year-old Matt Vince between the pipes, just being right there, making the right save at the right time.
The right saves at the right time, and a player that has now continued putting another notch into a storied career here. But, John, when it comes to Bandits Nighthawks over the weekend here, we've got a whole lot of Buffalo sports this weekend. What's the information like face-off time for the Buffalo Bandits and the Rochester Nighthawks this weekend?
Always a good game down the thruway to the Nighthawks. A battle of Thunder Alley is what they call it. And certainly the rivalry continues. Buffalo Bandit land travels very well. They're going to have probably 3,000 Bandit fans have already purchased tickets for the game on Saturday night in Rochester. So that adds a little bit more of infusion, and they always try to get seats behind the Buffalo bench, so that's a little bit more of a kind of a push for the players. But as I had mentioned before, they're going to meet a red-hot team. Now, Rochester is going to play the night before. They will be in Philadelphia on Friday night, so they'll be traveling, and as they say in this business, Buffalo will be waiting for them, and they won't get into Rochester probably dark early on Saturday morning. And then, you know, a back-to-back game. I always think that when the teams play back-to-back, the team that played the night before always plays better. So the Nighthawks are going to have their whole team rolling for sure. And Connor Fields and the rest of the guys, Ryan Smith, I mean, they've got a great offensive group and a stalwart in defense. And, you know, Gilray there on defense and then Hartley on goaltending. So it's going to be a great game, and, you know, Bandit Land, as I had mentioned, always travels well to Rochester.
John, the last thing before we wrap up here, it's four games in the season, but once again, ho-hum, here are Dane Smith and Josh Byrne in the top five of scoring once again in the NLL.
Incredible. I don't know what else to title over to Dane Smith. I mean, obviously, with his 200 points that he collected, I think, in Calgary. And I looked at those average stats, averaging 6.2 points per game in those 200 games that he has played. 5 goals, 12 assists in his last 2 games. I mean, he just continues on. He's such a great player. The elevation of his game and just the sense of his game. And it's almost Gretzky-esque when he's got he's on the field with Byrne. And, you know, it's just one of those things where they know their positioning. And sure, there are set plays with the Bandits, as Tavares will install. But they also let him just roam around and freestyle as much as they can. But the guys know the areas of where they'll be, which is pretty amazing. And box lacrosse, just based on the fact that, you're so condensed in 200 by 85 feet. But, you know, Smith leads the way. Byrne leads the way. Guys are going to cover them. They're going to try to double them. But there again, when you brought up the point of secondary scoring, this is where guys like Kyle Buchanan and Ian McKay and also Ryan Benesch, they're going to step it up along with Dehoka Nanico. These are the guys that while the other team like Rochester is covering both Smith and Byrne, these guys are going to get free. And I think we saw that on Saturday night in the stages of the game where Kyle Buchanan was on the end of some beautiful passes set up, and Ian McKay, just a solid shot that he has. And then Dehoka Nanico with that bull style of play where he likes to get his face right in the middle of things, and he'll let a shot go just like he did in the scoring the game's first goal last Saturday night.
John, hopefully it's another classic, and we'll be able to hear you over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, this weekend. Have yourself a great call and a great game.
You got it. Pre-game show at 6:30. Face-off at 7 down in Rotch. Thanks, guys.
That's John Gertler, Bandits play-by-play right there on the Westshore Hotline on the Bandits Update. It's brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. We'll take a timeout, wrap things up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. And it's a nice warmer day here in Buffalo.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we do wrap up a Thursday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. It is sunny. It is much warmer. I got a picture of my dad. First walk with the new pupper. He's got his coat on, but it's first walk of the year. It's going to get cold probably again pretty soon. But at least they were able to get out, you know, for the one day. That's good.
There you
That's
go.
Good.
Good.
It's nice out, though. It's
good,
nice.
Good, good. So, I'm interested in something that I don't necessarily know how it's going to go, but the same way that Jeremy and Joe ended the show this morning about rumors about Artemi Panarin, and I'm interested.
Be really cool.
But I'm a little questioning.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find it. Yep, there it is. So. I have one major problem with the interest or the rumors, so to say, like, you know, bring up Artemi Panarin and that Jarmo Kekalainen might be hunting for him. Artemi Panarin, to me famously, did not sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets because he wanted to go to a bigger city, right?
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the faces of, I'm not staying in Columbus.
Right. And you're thinking that he's going to waive a full no-move clause to come to Buffalo for the rest of the year? I get that the Rangers are bad and the Sabres have been kind of on a warpath. But I think that that's where my enthusiasm ends, is because of the player and the decisions that he has made.
Mm.
And he does stick it out with Columbus, you know, good for him, and then he gets the big contract. But he goes to New York and it was almost a foregone conclusion. Would it be cool for Jarmo Kekalainen to go all in on another playoff push with one of the same players that would
kind of burn him?
No, I wouldn't say burn him. He knew it was happening.
He knew it was happening, but
he still went in on the push. Do I think it would be some sort of like interesting writing from the sports world? Yes.
So cool. Be so cool.
Am I gonna believe it though? I hate to put the dampening on the situation here, but no. I don't really believe that he would waive his no move to come to Buffalo for a couple months to end the year. And I'm sorry to say that. It just doesn't strike me as something that the person would do.
Right. I mean, he's 34. He's had, I mean, we've seen it in his career in the NHL. I think for me, where I look at it, and this is much more glass half full kind of look to it, Kekalainen was also able, though, to convince Johnny Gaudreau to go to Columbus after, of course, the Panarin days. And maybe
I think it's a different type of person, though.
I don't disagree with that at all. That's 100%.
Gaudreau wanted to try to head home.
Right, but maybe the selling point is, dude, just be here for 6 months. Make a playoff run here, become a legend, and if you want...
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
But come here for a few months. We need you. You'll get to play with Tage Thompson, Erasmus Dahlin. And let's go.
And you want the most disgusting part about all of this? Just how weird that... Why are sports so weird this year? I need everyone to cut it out.
That could be fun. It's kind of fun.
I need everyone to cut it that bleep out right now. You want to know why? This is the most disgusting part about all this. The Rangers are 2 points back.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't win at home, but no one in the East drifts away.
Yes, they've played three more games. I don't care about the narrative right now. I care about the other numbers, which have to say... Yeah, the Sabres are crushing them in terms of points percentage because they have played three less games, but at the same time, they're only 2 points up. If it goes the wrong result tomorrow or tonight, you're on the same footing in terms of points. Not cool.
Yeah, Sabres-Rangers.
Yeah.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, 6 p.m. pregame.
Between this and the NFL drunkenly stumbling in a bar crawl this year, I feel like I've had my fill of the unpredictability.
Talk about unpredictability as well. College football tonight.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to have a very
We're going to have a 6 or a 10.
Yeah, we're going to have a very new national champion this year. Miami is the one that has won one. But they haven't won since the early 2000s.
But other than that, it's
Indiana. It's a bunch of new guys on the block. Ole Miss hasn't been this relevant since the 60s. Indiana's never been this relevant. And Oregon's never won one before.
Right. So
it's awesome.
Again, I do like what Jeremy had to say about that, of like, if Miami wins another game, like the damage that is done. Because now you're talking about teams that are like, oh, they do have a chance now. The CFP does have a real bye week problem.
Yeah, Indiana's been the only team that's been able to figure that out. Because it's not even a bye week. It's a bye, like, almost month, depending on what your conference championship is. And you got guys on winter breaks. They are going home, what have you. It's all – again, I've mentioned this a lot. The calendar is maybe the biggest problem of the whole thing.
I will say, I hate saying this, but I guess – thank you, MLB, for not being drunk this year.
Well, Toronto was a bit of a fun story.
Toronto was a fun story, but they also had like one of the higher payrolls. They were top 10 payroll in baseball, too.
It wasn't like that they had the 30th ranked payroll and went on this incredible run. But baseball's been like that in years past. That's going to do it for me and Derek Salcapaccio. We'll have you tomorrow. But coming up after a quick timeout, more on the Sabres as they play tonight. Sabres Live. This is WGR.